Well, we've been in a series called Grace to the Humble. Go ahead and put up James 4:6. We'll go over a few of the scriptures we've gone over and then go a little bit further this morning. James 4:6, it says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says," you don't have to turn to this one, we'll just put these up on the screen. "He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Glory to God. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And being humble in this day and age, sometimes people think of humility as weakness. There's a connotation somehow, you know, they're somehow mousy. But humility is not weak. Humility is strength. And we're going to see in a minute, humility is Jesus, God our Savior, his example. It is not weak. Humility displays trust in the Lord. When you submit yourselves to God, submit yourself to God, you are humble. When we submit to what he said in his word, when we submit to his will for his life, our life, we are humble. That is being humble. Submission is an attitude of the heart. If we go back to James, there, James 4:6, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God." That word submit, it means to be subject. It means to place or arrange under. So when we submit to God, we are placing ourselves under him. We are saying, "Lord, what you say, that's what I'm going to do." When you submit yourselves to your employer, you're saying, "Hey, I may not agree, but." See, a lot of people confuse agreement with submission. And people say, "Well, you know, I usually submit, but in this case, you know, I have a hard time submitting here. I don't agree." Well, then that's never been submission. Submission is even when you don't agree, you rank yourself under, you place yourself under. That's submission. You are submitting when you don't agree, when you don't understand, when you don't know, yet you say, "Yes, sir." Agreement, hey, if you agree with somebody, you say, "Yeah, I'll do what you want. That's what I want to do too." That's not submission. That is just, you get to do what you want to do. But you know what happens a lot of times? We bump up against something we don't want to do. And boy, it's very prevalent in our day and age. People say, "Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do." That is not a godly attitude. We're going to see this more and more. When we say, "Well, I do what I want to do." Well, that's not good. If we just do what we want to do in relation to God, that's not good. If God said, go left, and you say, "But I want to go right. I don't understand why I'd want to go left. I'm going right." That's not good. That's not submission. That's pride. What's that saying? I know more than you. If we call Jesus our Lord, we call God the King of our lives, then submission is saying, "Sir, yes, sir, I'm ranking myself under you. What you said is right." That's humility. Humility is agreeing with him, because how many of you know he's right? Whether we understand everything in any given scenario, when the dust settles, he's right. "Well, I just don't understand, you know, why would I go this direction? Or why would he have me to do this? I don't understand, you know, something in the Word." Well, it's right. And the quicker we get to where we say, well, if he said it, that's it. I'm going to do that. They will go well with us. That's a humble person. That's a humble person when we agree with him. See, pride assumes and presumes. Pride is a failure to do it God's way. See, submission is to retire from doing it your own way and yield to God's way. What does yield mean? Yield is to give way to. Pride steps up and says, I'm going to do it my way. Submission will say, I'll do it your way. Okay. When you yield to somebody in your family, let's say you're having a little bit of tension, you know, a good way to break it, I'm not saying you're a doormat, that's a whole other extreme, but you say, all right, let's do it your way. That's the grease, the oil that makes everything work. When we're wanting to be, notice earlier it said, all of you be submissive to one another. This makes things work, and it's a godly attitude. On the other hand, it's a selfish, prideful attitude, and we think, oh, everything's got to be, you know, my way. And the thing is, we have a lot of help in this day and age to be like that. The world is of the spirit of the world, which is Satan. He is selfish, proud to the nth degree, thought he could take out the Almighty, take some angels with him and try to attack God. Let's put it up on the screen real quick. Isaiah 14, just reviewing a little bit. Isaiah 14, 12. This is talking about Lucifer became Satan. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Notice the I wills. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the enemy that says, I'm going to do it. I'll do it my way. And we got to watch that. In our lives, we'll be pulled to try to, because the world's like that all over. But that's not the spirit of Jesus. That's not a meek and humble spirit. Jesus bowed his will when he walked on the earth. Walked according to the will of God. Let's read a couple of the scriptures. We'll turn to John here in a moment, but let's look at Philippians, or turn to put Philippians 2:5 on the screen. You don't need to turn there yet. Philippians 2:5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Realize this. This is the Son of God. He is God. Coming to earth. Coming here. Taking the form of one of us. You talk about humble. That anything that we'll ever be asked to do in this earth pales into comparison to this right here. Nothing. There is no gap on the earth that one human being could take, some role or job they could take, or, you know, servanthood that they could take from where they were that would remotely compare to the Son of the Living God coming to earth and being in the form of a human. You talk about humbling, but he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. What did he do? He put himself under. He's walking as a man. He's 100% God. He's 100% man, but he's not operating as God. He's operating as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, doing the will of the Father. It says, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him, which is the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's go to Hebrews quick, put up Hebrews 5:5. We read these last week. Hebrews 5:5, it says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And as he also says in another place, you are priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. When it says he learned obedience by the things he suffered, that means from the words under and to hear. That means he was putting himself under what he heard. The same thing when we talked about submission. Doing what he heard. Doing what he heard. Jesus himself had to obey. Jesus himself had to put his flesh down, and he had to. I mean, his flesh was not like our flesh. He's in a natural body, though. And he had to put aside the feelings. His body felt pain. He had things come against his mind, emotions. He had to submit all that to what God the Father was asking him to do. We see that over and over here. Let's go ahead and turn to John. Go to John, verse 4. John 4, what? John 4, verse 27. Hold your place in John. You don't have to turn, but could you put up Luke 22? I wanted to read this one before we went in to John. And then we'll come back to John 4:27. But could you put up Luke 22:41 on the screen? It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, what we were just talking about, when he was in the garden. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Verse 23 or 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Verse 42, go back there. Does it appear that Jesus just is jumping up and down naturally to do what's before him? And look what he prays. If it's your will, this is the right way, the right place to pray if it's your will. When you're talking about consecration and dedication. Now, if we already know the will of God in a situation, you don't pray if it's your will. This is specifically when you are talking about God, whatever you want done, I'm willing to do. But when he's already promised certain things in his word, you don't pray if it's your will. That's unbelief. That's saying, well, you told me you could do it, but you know, if for some reason you changed your mind, then I'll go with that. No, that's never the case. God's will is settled forever. But in things of where we're in circumstances where we're talking about direction, We're talking about God's will for our life, for, you know, what His specific plan for you is, apart from His revealed word. This is appropriate. Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Not my will, but Yours. This is submission. This is humility. Notice when we read about Lucifer, Satan, he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. It was his will. He said, I will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And he was brought low. But we see Jesus said, it's not my will, but it's Yours. And what we just read over in Philippians said that he was exalted. He brought himself low. He humbled himself. He walked in humility, and then he was exalted. Pride goes the opposite. It tries to exalt itself, and it goes low. But this is the heart of our Savior. This is our example. Not our will, but His will. Now let's look at John 4:27. We'll look at a number of verses here in John. John 4:27. It says, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, and yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish this work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish whose work? His work. Now, this is the Son of God walking on the earth, and he said, I come to do the will of the Father. As Christians, whose disciples are we? Jesus. Who is to be our Lord? Jesus. So, whose example ought we follow? His. And he didn't say, I'm going to do what I want to do. In fact, he said, not my will, but Yours, praying to the Father. This ought to be our heart as well. John 5:30, skip down a few verses. John 5:30. Notice this. I can of myself, this is Jesus speaking, I can of myself do what? Nothing. Jesus, the Master. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Don't seek my own will, he said. I seek the will of the Father who sent me. Not his will. He said, not my will, but Yours be done. Here he said, I don't seek my own will. And at the beginning he said, I can of myself do nothing. Go down to John 6:38. John 6:38. It says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, I've come from heaven not to do my own plan, not to do my own will, not to do those things that I may want, but to do the will of him who sent me. As Christians, this is our goal. This should be our heartbeat as well, not what I want to do. not what I want to do, but to do what He wants me to do. John 8:28. This is humility. This is true humility. What doing what He told us to do, what He wants us to do, believing what He said about us. John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself." Just a little? He said nothing. Yeah, but He's Jesus. I mean, He's the Son of God. Surely He could bring His flair to the plan. No. He said, "I don't do anything, not even like, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon, I'm just going to do my own thing." Now, He did what the Father wanted Him to do all the time. "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and He who sent me is with me." Oh, thank God for that, because He's with us. He who sent us is with us as well. His Spirit is in us and with us. "The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." I always do those things that please Him. Go down to John 15. John 15, verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." See, now He starts talking to us. He said He could do nothing of Himself. He did not do anything but what the will of the Father was. And now He's saying, "You can't do anything without me." Well, if He can't do anything, and He's the Master, He's the Savior, what makes us think that we could do something of ourselves? Well, sure, people do stuff all the time in their own strength in the world. They get something done. But they don't do what God would have them to do. They're not doing the will of God, they're doing their will. You can get stuff done in your own strength, but at the end of the day, when you're all done, it's going to be burned up. No, we need to have the attitude that it's what God wants that we're going to do. It's what He would have us to do. That's important. Go back to verse 1, and let's read through this slowly. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Humility is going to acknowledge this. I can't do anything apart from Him. bear fruit. Bear fruit. Fruit for what? Fruit for the kingdom of God. Fruit that's going to remain in our lives. We can get things done, but what's the value? What's the significance? If you hold this place, Teresa, can you put up Psalm 127? I know that's not in the sheet. Psalm 127, I think it's verse 1 and 2. Yeah. Verse 1 and 2. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. You can go ahead and turn over there, but hold your place in John if you do. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Verse 1, can you go back to verse 1? Says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Notice, evidently, they built the house. They got it done. But it was in vain because the Lord wasn't in it. Amen. He is the King of all. There is no higher authority. And as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we're to be about His business. And humility in every area will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you think about this? What should I be doing? Because He has a plan and a purpose for us in each of our lives to do something. Now, He has general purpose, but also specific purpose. And He's telling us there's something specific. Now, if we go and try to do something else, even though it might look good, even might seem like people are being helped, people could get help. But if it's not the plan of God, then it is in vain. It means it's wasted. That means it's useless. It's His will. It's what He would have us to do. We have a very short time here on this earth, all of us. I don't care if it's over 100 years. That's short. It's going to be done quickly. And if we've lived any time at all, we realize that, man, the weeks go fast. The years go fast. And what are we spending our resources on? Is it going to be what He asked us to do? Now, we may think, well, this looks more productive. This looks better. This is what I should be doing. There's only one question. Is that what He wants us to do? Because if we get the house built, and it might be a beautiful house, and it might look real pretty and impress other people, but is it what He asked us to do? Because God says if the Lord didn't build it, see, the Lord's going to build what He wills to be built. He's going to work with us, but He's not building something He didn't will to be built, so we need to know what His will, and then go with that. If it's not His will, it is in vain. And if we got something done and say, wow, look at that, but God wanted us to do something else, we missed it. Was it Billy Graham? I'd say it was Billy Graham that said, my biggest concern would be if God wanted me to be like a plumber or something. And we think, how in the world could that be? The man affected the world. But if it's not what God wanted, He knew this. It's in vain. And our natural mind and in society does not look at it. It looks at the exterior. It says, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, that's awesome. Let's do that. Let's do more of that. And God's not impressed. If it's not what he asked, think about it. You can know this if you had children or you've ever been in any position of responsibility and you ask somebody to do something and they go do something else, though it might be good, does that bless you? Does that make you happy? Well, you know, you asked your child to go do X and they come back. Did you do that? No, but I did this. Well, wait a minute. I asked you to do this. Yeah, but I did this and this is what I wanted to do. Isn't it cool? But I asked you to do this, and it might have been something that needed to be done at a certain time, and it wasn't done. If you were in a position of leadership or authority, and you asked somebody to do something, they decide, no, I'm going to go do something else, and you needed this done because five other things were coming, you know, behind it, and could have been a communication breakdown. As long as you communicated that, if they didn't do what you asked them to do, does that make you happy? Oh, well, you did that. Well, that's good enough. I mean, you know, that could have been just as good. Not if it's what was needed for the organization, them doing something else that even though it's cool, might even look flashier, is not the right thing to get the job done. And that our natural thinking sometimes, oh, well, they didn't do that, but they did this. That's awesome. And men look at the exterior. Men look at the glitter. Men look at the shiny thing and are distracted by the shiny thing. Ooh, look at this. Oh, wait, now this is even cooler. Want to get this one. This is even cooler. Let's get that one and zigzag. God's not that way. God says, here you go. Can you do this? He's got a plan. He had a plan. The plan of salvation. If Jesus would have said, you know what? This was a good plan, but I don't feel like doing this anymore in the garden. What if he would have made a different decision? I mean, that's not going to even go there. But I'm just saying, the plan was carried out. Well, does God still have a plan? Does God still have a plan on the earth? Who are the body of Christ? It's us. Who are the people that are supposed to be carrying out the plan? It's us. So pride will say, anything's okay. I'm going to do whatever. Humility will say, what do you want me to do? You want me to do such and such? Okay, sir, yes, sir, I'll do that. That pleases the Father. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough that he said, I can't do anything of myself, can't do anything apart from the Father, who are we? Who are we? Well, we can get it done. We'll do something really cool. Poor Jesus just didn't know that. Poor Jesus depended on the Father. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays and wake in vain. Go to the next verse. It is vain, useless, for you to stay up or to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. It's useless for us to work really hard trying to do something that we think we have to do, when if God's saying, no, you just do this, then we are missing it. It's vain. It's useless. We're losing sleep. We're overworking. For what? That's exactly what this is talking about. Getting up early, staying up late. You know, you're working yourself to the bone. Why? Because you're doing what you want to do. And he said, unless the Lord builds the house, unless God is in it, it's vain. It's useless. We go back to John 15. We'll go to verse 4. John 15, verse 4. God is faithful. God is just. He has good things for everybody. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, of course, you can get something done. We just read that they evidently built the house, but God was not in it. So it's vain. He's talking about real fruit that's going to remain. unless you abide in Jesus, the vine, we can't get it done. We can't get done what he needs to get done unless we follow him and do what he wants us to do. And the pride of this world will say, you don't need God. You don't need Jesus. That's not necessary. That's just, you know, somebody being weak-minded and thinking they need something else. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we can't do even a little bit. We need him to get the real done. You can get counterfeit stuff done. When we get things done in our own strength, we're paying for it somehow. It's coming from somewhere. But when we rely on him, and just if he tells us to do something, we say, yes, sir, and we flow with the strength and the grace that he has for us, hallelujah, it will be good and it will be in the right direction and he will add no sorrow to it. There won't be any of that staying up late and getting up early, trying so hard to do something because, now I'm talking about unnecessary. God, the Bible does teach diligence, but we don't work hard in vain. We do what he's called us to do, and we have to do it in rest. Let's be honest. I mean, it's tempting to start doing too much. Why? Because we're afraid something's not going to work out. Because we want it a different way. But if we'll abide in him, he's saying, I'm the only way. That's the only way you're going to get it done. That's the only way to be his follower and be a successful disciple is to do what he told us. Go to the next verse, please. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears, what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. 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 Everybody say this. Say, without Jesus, I can do nothing. Say it again. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. Now personalize it to him. Say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I acknowledge you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Lord, I don't want to build anything that you're not in. Lord, I'll follow you. I'll flow with you. I'll humble myself before you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Because you're right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Praise God. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Let's just close your eyes for a moment. Lord, we thank you. You are a faithful God. You are a faithful God. Lord, you're a faithful God. You are faithful. Lord, like Jesus, we rank ourselves under you and your word. We are submitting and subjecting ourselves under you and your plan and your word. What you have us to do, that's good. What you have us to do is the right thing to build. Lord, we want you in it. We don't want to go against what you would have us to do. We don't want to go in our own direction. We want what you want. We want your will. Lord, it is our desire to bear fruit and bear a lot of it. And you said the only way is to submit to you. The only way is to do it with you. Lord, we acknowledge you. Lord, we acknowledge you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just let him minister to your heart right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We draw on you right now. We draw on your strength. Lord, we acknowledge you. Without you, we can do nothing. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. You are awesome. Your plan is right. Your plan is right. Your plan is right. And we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you. Not my will, not our will, but your will be done. Glory to God. Look at one more scripture, John 3:27. John 3:27. Says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. It's John the Baptist. People are coming to him in multitudes, coming to be baptized. But he realized his place. He realized he was not the Lord. He realized he's the one that you're going to need to go to. I have a position, I have a call, but it is not the Christ. I am here to point people to him. He must increase, I must decrease. Do you see that? Do you see the humility there? People were coming to him. Jesus came to him. And his response was, you're coming to me? He could have been puffed up. Well, everybody's coming to me. I mean, I must be something. He could have gotten off. Don't think he couldn't have gotten off. He's human just like you and like me. But there's humility. He was saying, I am not the purpose here. I am part of the plan. I have a role, but the role is to point people to him. He knew his place. And Jesus himself said, there's in all that were born a man, there was none greater than him. It wasn't in his presence. But he said this about John. Called him great. Doesn't the Bible say that he who wants to be greatest among you will be servant? What is that? That's not my way. That's putting ourselves under. Well, we're servants of God. We're children of God, yes, but there's also servanthood. There's also saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you show me. What's my place? What's my role? Lord, you show me what you would have me to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay in this position because without you, I can do nothing. I'm not going to get over here. If I say, yeah, that's good, but I'm going to do it this way, that's pride. I want to be in my place doing my role. When you are asking for roll call, I'm here. I'm in the place I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I am called to do. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to trust you to bear fruit in my life. And the fruit that will remain. Unless you build the house, it's in vain. I don't want any of that. So I am at the place to help you build. Whatever that is, whatever each person is, humility says, Lord, you tell me what to do. I'm there. You won't have to worry about me being in my place. I'll be in my place and I will submit myself. I'll subject myself to you. Whether I understand everything about the circumstances around it, I will subject myself to your will because that is the importance. You must increase. You must be glorified. Whatever my role is, it's to bring you glory. His name is exalted above every name. Hallelujah. He is the King. He is the King of Kings. He is our Lord. And we are here to glorify Him.